interfere with the civilian population was very, very poor. We couldn't. Wherever we'd been in Scotland, we were fine, we were well liked. And but Thetford we couldn't get through to them at all. But I think it was, we all found the same thing. They were distant. There was no friendly atmosphere shown to us whatsoever. But I think they were so inundated with troops and air. They had airfields. Oh, well, I don't know whether you knew anything about East Anglia, you know. There was airfields on just on farming ground, not all concrete runways, and a lot of big aircraft. And there was one just on the outskirts of Thetford, a big airfield, and it was run entirely by Polish personnel that had got over to England. And of course, they owned Thetford. They were there when we they were there all the time. We were in combat with the Poles there, and they were said to get, they got the foot in the door, I think, with the locals as well. There was no very poor relationship between us and Durham's.
Were there any clashes between the various regiments and RAF in the area?
Well, not a lot. No, we didn't. Well, as I say, A Company was always used miles away from HQ, so what went on in the town? And us drivers, for instance, we had every night at Thetford at Shadwell Court. There was a truck, there were sometimes two trucks, detailed for Liberty trucks, running the rest of the, a couple of loads of the fellas into Thetford, you see. Well, we spend an hour or two in Thetford, but we couldn't really do much. We were in charge of the truck. We used to take our rotor arms out wherever we parked them. So nobody could start them up anywhere. And we were far away from Thetford. We had some big old buildings. We used a yard and some buildings we used to put them in. But we had some fights with our own personnel when we were attached to a I don't know I mentioned the fact that our battalion took over, moved to Great Yarmouth for a month. Have we mentioned that?
That was in the July 41.
Yeah.
Which is the next place that you moved to.
We didn't.
What happened there?
Well, the battalion took over from a unit of South Country fellows that had been at Yarmouth, and they had a really rough time because Jerry was knocking out of Yarmouth. There was a flotilla of motor torpedo boat stationed there up the river at Yarmouth, and that was the one he used to try and knock out, you see. Jerry, he used to be coming over bombing these fast aircraft, Heinkels, I think they were. They carried two bombs. And they used to come in very fast, drop the bombs and way back. And then the motor torpedo boats would go out and try and get him. And they were very fast. We saw him going. And we, us drivers, like the stern drivers, had to stay with the blokes that were strangers to us at Shadwell Court and Thetford. Because they were being taken out of the line to give them a break from what they'd been putting up with. So our fellas got it. But we didn't say much of that as drivers. We used to have to go through occasionally when we were ordered to go for some reason.
So the battalion was at Yarmouth,
yeah.
But you were still back at Shadwell?
Yes, yeah. Just as drivers to this other unit.
Did you have any problems with air raids yourself? Did you come across any?
No, not really. We did when we were at Folkestone.
I don't know whether we had any
casualties amongst the chaps who were living there, but I know there was a roof blown off an upstairs loft or something, that there was a lot of them vomited in, and the roof was blown off with a bomb blast or something. They had a roofish time there. But I don't know about casualties anyway, so unless it had been some actual men I knew, but they were surprised at that apparently, and that was for a month. And we had a rough time with these other lot. They were playing at soldiers, you see, every day. And oh dear me, what a carry on. We couldn't do anything right for the damn officer, this air company officer. What was his name? Anyway, he wasn't our unit at all.
What regiment were these people from, do you know?
I didn't know at the time. The regiment, we're a South Staffordshire regiment.
And you came under their control?
Yes, all right. Yeah, we were their transport. You see, they didn't have any trucks. And we were out with them every day. They were doing this and getting orders. And oh, Christ, we were always in trouble with the damn officer. And my mate, Billy Wilson, he was eight truck driver. He was a Geordie. And every time there was a question as to whether we'd have made an order correctly or not, you know, and Billy Wilson would say, well, with our own unit, you see, so and now you're not with your own union now, and you're in trouble. You'll obey my orders. I used to say to Billy, for God's sake, keep your mouth shut about our own unit. That was in trouble every time. But he couldn't turn himself. Anyway, we got by.
Were these Shropshires as well disciplined and trained as your own?
Well, they were an unruly lot. Very unruly. But trouble I had with them, and I used to take them into Thetford on leisure night, you know. And I used to pull the truck out of where he was, push it along the road, and been trying to do things, get the truck started, and all this. They were unruly. I was supposed to take so many on the truck. No, on the back, this is an open truck. And according to the MT rules, when MacPeak caught us taking the big load, we'll be in trouble. But they used to fill the damn truck and they wouldn't get off. So I just used to take them. But they were a little bit off. But there was a little incident. Our PU driver, He was a gentleman who was living in Yorkshire at the time. He was called up, Nicholas Wilson, and he was 5'2" tall. And we were with these South Staffs regiment, and the food was horrible. It really was. We'd been used to good food because we had Yorkshire cooks. Smashing, and the food was terrible. We had to feed, there was three, and our driver's mate was feeding with these South Staffs. And Little Titch one night, when you were having a meal, the orderly officer would come round and ask, any complaints? Nobody complains, didn't pay you. And Little Titch Wilson says, this bloody food, he said, it's not worth eating, he said. When that bloody orderly officer comes along, he says, I'm going to have a word with him. So he comes along, and he complains. We were sitting at the back jail tables with long seats, you see. And of course, we were at the back of the table, us DLI lads, four of us. So Little Titch was going to complain to the officer. So he stood up, you see, and he, yes, I have complained, sir. The officer said, just a minute, he said, don't you usually stand up and you address an officer? Little says, well, what the bloody hell is the thing I'm doing? He says, I just want to do this, and he jumped up under the seat. Well, the place absolutely erupted. But the little men like that, they got away with murder. They always did in the army. Any normal size man would have been thrown in the jug, but it's saw the funny side of it.
North Walsham,
that's right. Yeah.
What, where did you go there? Is that the way it was?
We're in a big park. What's the call the name in the park? Huge area of parkland.
Was the park?
There was a big mansion somewhere in it, but it was a very big estate.
Worsted Park.
Worsted Park, that's right. The village of Worsted was just above it. There was a village called Worsted, you know, it was renowned for that Worsted cloth. And we were in the park, and we were in canvas, right up to the beginning of December. And the camp itself, you couldn't get anywhere without up to the eyes in mud, creeping out of your tents and getting round the back. Oh, it was wicked. And then we had snow, and it was a rough winter that winter. And we moved.
Does this cause trouble keeping warm?
Well, I don't know how the hell we did keep warm, tell you the truth. I think we'd got acclimatised.
What were you sleeping on in the tents?
Palliasses. Filled with straw.
With a board?
No.
On the ground with palliasses?
On the ground, yes. They were watertight, these were bell tents. They held 8 men with a pole in the middle, and you were round, or with your feet in the middle, and 8 men in the tent, you see. But we were living in mud, almost, right up to the beginning of December. That was it, Bruce Park.
What was the battalion doing there?
Just the same thing, really.
Do you remember any aerodromes that you were defending in the area? Aerodrome defence?
I think it was just a question of existing. There wasn't much activity. The weather was atrocious. And there wasn't a lot of activity. I think they used to keep the lads marching out on the roads and that sort of thing. But there wasn't any very active, not a lot of activity there.
But not an exercise or that kind of thing.
No, not a lot. It didn't lend itself to it, actually.
Have you got any other memories of being there? Anything that occurred?
Not really. Very uneventful. We got down to one night, a bunch of us. We found there was a train where we could get a train. There was a railway station somewhere near where we were. We were just in this park over a wall and beside a road, a metal road. And we could get to the railway station. We'd have a go down to one of the Norfolk Broad holiday areas, but of course there was no holiday activity at that time. But we had a very pleasant night down there that night. We just did it the once. Went down by train and came back by train. But there wasn't much life, there wasn't much leisure life for us there. A very poor affair. Because it was only the village. We would walk to a place called North Walsham. And that was about 5 miles away, and it was only a little dump anyway. So there wasn't much for us there. We had a job keeping ourselves blooming clear of mud. I know.
Did that affect the health?
I don't think so. We could take anything then. Anything.
You said that at the end of the year, towards the end of November, December, you went to Shorncliffe.
We did, yeah, that's right.
Whereabouts in Shorncliffe did you go?
Shorncliffe Barracks. Very big barracks.
And what were you doing there?
That was a very regimented place. Everything was done by bugles there. The bugles and have a quiet. Man, the accommodation was good. It was a huge barracks. It's still there, of course, Shorncliffe Barracks. Now he knocks. He was landing a few of the long distance shells in those barracks. What was they called? It was an area of Folkestone, but. Well, it was Shorncliffe Barracks, but there was the area was called something or other. I've forgotten that now. And a lot of the lads had their wives come down and got digs round there. My wife came down anyway. And we spent. And from there, as I've earlier when something extra came along that they needed troops from our battalion. It all seemed the air company that got these jobs. Sometimes they were good, sometimes they weren't so good.
Do you remember any particularly?
Well, we went to, from Shorncliffe Barracks, A Company, were detailed to go as a guard duty to Rye. And it was South Eastern Command HQ, was Rye. And it's a very posh area, Reddy Hill and Rygate, beg your pardon. General Montgomery was South Eastern Command HQ, and we were a guard duty. And we were there for a month. And that was guard.
Did you take part in guards?
Only in as much as running backwards and forwards from where we were billeted. We were billeted in a couple of big houses in their own grounds. One was called Marjorie Hall, and the other was called Margaret Hall. They were about a mile distance. And there, before the army took them over, had been occupied by film stars. We knew them, we were told them what film stars had lived in this two hall. Beautiful halls, but they were our billets. And we were at the top of the hill. We used to call it Box Hill, but I'm not sure where it was, but it was this huge hill that we could walk down the hill from our halls into Rygate itself, and that was being South Eastern Command HQ. It was absolutely alive with military men, male and female. I think there were more females there, ATS, than the males were anyway. And every night there was a guard of so many hours on, so many hours off. And we used to have to the platoon truck went with the platoon that was providing the guard, and we were there if they wanted anything, running around and anything.
You stayed with them?
Yeah.
So that must have been a very spitting polish.
Oh, it was.
Did you?
Well, we never saw Montgomery, but we... there were some riots there, right? Oh, dear me. I was on guard one night. I was with my platoon on guard duty. But I had to go and pick them up such and such a time. I'd got away to go to a canteen and have something to eat or something. And the place was alive with it. It used to tear my heart out to see all these young lasses, drunkards and everything. Absolutely helpless. And they were all stationed there. Hundreds of them. Messes all over the place, all over the area. And I was in this canteen, having a cup of tea. And I'd crept away probably from the lads for just to get a cup of tea, you see. And there was a couple of red caps. They came into the canteen where I was in. He said to me, "Is this truck out there? Is it yours?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What are you on?" I said, "Sort of." He said, "Well, can you spare 5 minutes? A few minutes?" He said, "If we get hold of some of these bloody lasses." They were trying to round up the drunks. Well, there'd been some had come in, two or three of these drunken lasses into this canteen I was in. But they'd gone out, I think they saw the red caps coming in, and they scarpered. Well, when I got outside, I said, "Well," I said, "well, it doesn't involve me too much." I said, "I'm on duty, actually." And anyway, I wanted, if they could catch these lasses, they would get them on the truck and take them away, wherever. But they couldn't catch them. They were drunk, but they could run. Well, it was laughing to see them. Red caps trying to corner these lasses outside. "Ah," said, "it's no good, I can't wait any longer, I'm going." They didn't catch one of them, they were round the trucks. And but the chums were there, and this was every night.
Must have been quite a number of liaisons between men and ATS.
Oh, there would be, but we were never in a position to make anything of that. Well, we don't run elected from your own medics. That's all. We were warned about various things and venereal disease and that sort of thing, you know. And
you'd had these prior to coming here, of course.
Yeah. Yes, when we were very early in the army.
Was it a misdemeanor to catch VD?
They were punished. They were punished if you caught VD. They were poor devils. Well, say poor devils was self-inflicted, wasn't it? They knew the dangers. But that didn't bother me in the least. I never indulged in any wish for sex with anybody but my own wife, and then that was when I went on leave. I never was tempted, but of course it was rampant. But the army, the MO, when he took us and lectured us on the venereal disease, he had to tell us, probably it was a stock story. He said one person once asked him, "Can you catch VD off a lavatory seat?" And he stood for a second or two, and then he said, "Yes, but this is a bloody silly place to take a woman."
So whilst you're at Riseborough, you come back to Riseborough after your month at this headquarters. Did you come back then to Riseborough Barracks, Shorncliffe?
Yes. Yes, we came back. We had Christmas Day in our town. What is it? We were still on guard duty, and we were as a group, found a dance somewhere. Now we had a night mixed with ATS at a dance when we were on that guard duty, and I did make friends that night, and she was kind of a little lost. And her husband was in the army, and anyway. That was just a little friendly, something either day and gone tomorrow sort of thing. And for New Year, and Margaret, my wife, had been with me, she'd come for New Year, and she'd got digs, you see. So at New Year, back at the Chartley, we came back between Christmas Day, and on Christmas Day, we had special food, and a bottle of non-alcoholic drink supplied, and there was only our three officers with service, you see, our meal, and they brought three ATS officers in, their pals, I suppose, to help to serve our meal for Christmas Day. So that was our first.
What did you get as a meal? Do you recall?
Oh, we had a good meal. There was birds provided, and pork, and God knows what. Well, they put a good meal on for you when you were in England, wherever we were.
And you didn't get any alcohol at all? It wasn't issued then?
No. We had to go outside if we wanted alcohol. There was none on the... We didn't have any on the units. We didn't on the ship either. Christmas on the ship. And that was Reigate.
From there you moved to Folkestone.
Yeah. We were already at Folkestone. This was only a company at Reigate. One company. There was a Naffy van used to come there. Because he used to come every day around pick up these various halls where we were stationed and serve us cups of tea and whatnot, stay for half an hour and away.
Did the Salvation Army appear?
Not travelling, but if whenever we could find a Salvation Army canteen in a town, they were the best there were of any organisation. They really were good. Food was good, and all the things you could buy, and they were smashing. We loved Salvation Army. I would often hear a wrong word against the Salvation Army, and they were good. Yes, we went on to coastal defence from Shorncliffe. We were allotted a length of coastline which was forbidden to the stretch of what is it, was patrol every night by some of our rifle companies. And us drivers, there was a searchlight in a cave down, from going down to the sea. And there was a big searchlight. The lamp itself was about this big, but my goodness. And we were taught how to use it, how to light it up with charcoal burners. And this was a huge magnifying glass. I forgot what you use, petrol, I think. Anyway, how you get this terrific light, it's these two pieces of charcoal that there's a pilot light lit, and when these charcoal sticks heat up, you move them in like this. This we were taught to do this, this is a lamp. All of a sudden she used to blaze out and shine right across the sea from God knows how far. And that was in case there was an invasion from the sea. And we used to saw that very long every night.
And you drivers did that, did you?
We were taught to handle that. And we there would be two of us on each night. Well, the lads were in on patrol. Well, another nasty incident there, internal incident. There was a sergeant and a corporal, and in charge of a guard patrol, you see. And of course, there was two hours on and 4 hours off. That was all. That all was guard. And when the sergeant took one stretch of this patrol, the corporal would be sleeping, and then the sergeant could get to sleep with the guard that had just come off duty, and the corporal was in charge, and he was supposed to be awake. And there was one night an orderly officer walked in, and all bag of tricks up, and the sergeant, the corporal, and all up and all asleep. And we should have a light off by then. We were only supposed to be keep it on so long, you know. We didn't keep it on all the time because you'd have got used to it anyway, if you had any thoughts. And of course, this probably officer, terrible thing on the patrol line. And a poor old sergeant was demoted. He was court martialed and he was demoted, and he never should have been, because it was the corporal's damn fault. He was supposed to be on the